I know you already know this, but we have had a marvelous time here this morning, and the Lord loves us very much. And as our brother Ed reminds us as often as he can, the Lord delights in us. He is delighting in us today. And we in him. Amen. Thank you, sister. I have had on my heart a thought and message that basically is about the name of Jesus, about the name of God, names of God. But I want to begin with reminding you and reminding me that it is entirely the Lord's doing, that he is about his business, and that it is the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you have come to dwell within us and that we are made one with you. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you for what you have revealed of yourself to us, and we want to enjoy your revealing. We want to enjoy your fellowship of the saints, Lord, those who have been redeemed. And Lord, we want to call upon your coming to cleanse the earth and to bring about the coming of your kingdom. And we do thank you and praise you, Lord, that we are seeing the evidence of your coming. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to walk in confidence with you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I know you have probably thought about this in one way or another, but I'd like to put it into the words as I see it. And the brothers in our meetings on Monday night several times, it's also been said here several times in our meetings as an entire fellowship, that the Lord is moving. He is shaking things. The pandemic and all the things that are going on in the world, the Lord has his hand upon them. And as our brother Paul shared with us, he was speaking of this same thing. Well, first, let me back up. The Lord, is speaking to all men, all of us who all who live at this time. And he is speaking to those who will hear, and he is speaking to those who will not hear. And that through this speaking, he will begin to judge and to call men to himself or to destruction. And within the body of believers, he is calling us to trust him, to believe him, that he is sovereign, that as Jeff reminded us of so well, he is in charge. He is able to do all that he says he will do, all that the scripture says he will do. He will accomplish, he will bring about, he will cleanse the earth from all unrighteousness. And we're seeing the beginnings of that. I believe the other brothers agree with that. And if you struggle to understand that, that's fine. Seek the Lord. The Lord wants to speak to you and to all of us. Paul shared, out of particularly focusing on John chapter 8 and helping us and giving us comfort in that if we will abide in verse 31 of chapter 8, if you will abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We get confused, perhaps, or we don't understand exactly what the truth is. But I can tell you one thing that the truth is not. The truth is not the knowledge of good and evil. The truth, as our brother Ed has reminded us over and over again, is a person. And the truth is the Lord Jesus and is in the Lord Jesus entirely. And he is above all things and beyond all things. And in him he created all things. And in him all things hold together. There is no doubt about the outcome of the events that are taking place in this world now. The outcome is that the Lord Jesus will come at some point and he will cleanse the earth, just as it says in Revelation. He will take the title deed, he will take the scroll, he will break the seals, he will release the angels, the creatures, to do his bidding, and he will bring his army, and he will come and place his step foot on the earth again. What I would like to speak about really started from considering his name, his names, and what he has done throughout history, throughout the Bible, over and over and over again in the Bible, in the Psalms, everywhere. He speaks of his name. He speaks of the name of the Father. He tells us to pray in his name. He tells us things, and it is, his name is beyond our understanding. And yet it is within our understanding to know who he is and to call upon him. Call upon his name. And his name is not like our name. Our name is, you know, how people get my attention. How I put my authorization on things. As a professional engineer, I sign things with my name, saying that I believe this is correct, and I put my understanding, my expertise, and my assurance upon that. Jesus' name is all those things, but Jesus' name is beyond all that. He is, and we had the song, we had songs, we had Prince of Peace, Mighty God. He is God Almighty. He told that was the name that Abraham knew him by, and Isaac, and Jacob. He is God Almighty, God beyond all other gods. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is Prince of Peace. He is I was touched last week because as I was studying this by Psalm 91. It happened to show up on the our presentation before the service on the Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that is his name, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty, that is his name. I will say to the Lord, that is his name, my refuge, his name, my fortress, his name, my God in whom I trust. My God is his name. And what we can hold on to, and what we, when we call upon his name, he enables us and he promises we can stand in his promise. Continuing in verse 3, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. This is not just poetry. This is not just verse. This is not just sort of an indistinct painting of a portion of who God is. This is truth. This is reality. And we can call upon him and he hears us. He who is the Prince of Peace. You know, Prince of Peace is not... Prince of Peace is a powerful name. God Almighty is a powerful name. He is able to do all things. And he does all things. And it is all done according to his purpose and according to his intent. We spoke about it just a few minutes ago, about the incarnation. The incarnation was necessary. Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. He had to come as a man to take on himself all of the sin of the world. All of our sin, all of every sin. He has suffered for it. And it is because of his suffering, every man has the availability of salvation. No one is without excuse. Is that a proper way to say that? There is no one who will be able to claim, I didn't know. I didn't understand. It is a refusal of God's love that will condemn to hell those who will be condemned. Those of us who love the Lord, we are being called again by him, called to trust in him. I've been in the past, I've spoken on and find it extremely it seems almost too simple. But it's important. In John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, Jesus has been in a confrontation with the Pharisees. And they said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What we are doing in this life, the Lord wants us to believe in him. That is our effort And I can't explain it. I'm not going to try to explain it. But he says here, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. We need to believe him. Right now, when you are afraid of what might happen because there isn't a vaccine, or there is a vaccine, or will the vaccine last, or will I be exposed? Will I have a problem? What if my friends? What if my loved ones? Jesus has it all in his hand, and it is all unto his purpose, and he is about his work. We are to believe him, to trust him. Have so many notes and pieces of paper in your Bible, it is hard sometimes to find what you're trying to find. Okay. I have been blessed by and enjoying our brother Ed's Bible study on the book of Exodus. And the focus that Ed has is, well, it's the Lord Jesus, and that's sort of diminishing. I'm not diminishing focusing on the Lord Jesus. But I wanted to look at it slightly differently than what he has shared in certain aspects. The thing about this is Israel, the thing I want you to see in light of all that is happening in the world is that in this particular circumstance, in Exodus, we have God rescuing his people. His people have cried out to him from their bondage, and he is coming to save them. He is bringing Moses to save them and to call them out. Israel is being seen for the first time, and I really wrestled with saying first time. I'm sorry. I don't know that this is the first time, but it seems to me it's the first time. It's certainly an early time when Israel is seen as a nation, as a people. They are no longer the 100 or 200 or however many that came with Jacob in to see and to meet again Joseph, who was ruling for Pharaoh in Egypt. They had multiplied. There were millions. This is the first time they're being seen as they come out of Egypt. Being seen, they're becoming a people. In Exodus chapter 9, so I got notes in one place and markers in another. In chapter 9, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early." Now, just for background, because you haven't been studying this, a number of the plagues have already. Moses has returned. He's called. He told the people that God had called him to bring them out. He has that God is answering them through him, and Pharaoh has been confronted, and Pharaoh has. Seen several, and the magicians and pharaohs and the Egyptian people have seen his hand touching the gods of, not just touching, manhandling, smashing into the dirt, the gods of Egypt. And so beginning in chapter 9, verse 13, then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this cause I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. There's the name. To proclaim my name through all the earth. And he continues one more verse, 17. Still, speaking to Pharaoh, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. I want to focus on the name. He has done this to Pharaoh. He has raised Pharaoh up so that the world, all mankind, in the scripture and beyond, would have this as a testimony that God is in charge. That he has raised Pharaoh up. This is Egypt. This is Egypt in 2,000 years before Christ. This is Egypt, the world power, which is being God-handled, being taught, being shown, and God is expressing his power, showing his power, bringing forth a testimony in verse 16, to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name, God Almighty, Yahweh, I am, throughout all the earth. This same message was expressed, and we were reminded of it in Romans chapter 9. I'm getting to what I want. I want you to understand the background here, to understand that God is telling us, telling Pharaoh, telling the people of Egypt, telling Israel who he is. And so in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up. Egypt was not there. If there is any doubt in your mind that God is in charge, seek his face. Pharaoh was not just a mat, didn't come about because of economic considerations, because of the fact that they were on the Nile, the fact that they had an army, whatever the fruitfulness of the people. They were raised by God to be a world power, just as Nebuchadnezzar later would be raised to be a world power. That God would use the nations of the world to punish Israel and to be raised up against them and then to be conquered. Over and over, God is performing his will and his purpose. For this very purpose, for the scripture says, for this very purpose I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. I'm going to come back to these verses. But this is true. This is absolutely true. God did proclaim through Egypt his name throughout the whole earth. Is there evidence? Well, absolutely. The scripture tells us in Joshua chapter 2. verse, got to hold my place here. Verse 9. This is familiar to you. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And he said, and she said to the men, this is Rahab speaking. She said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted melted, and no courage remained in any man as any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath. Rahab saw clearly by the Spirit who they were and who God is, because God had proclaimed His name to all the earth. And those, the king and his soldiers and all that, they still resisted. They were the ones who wouldn't admit that their hearts had melted within them, but that was what was happening. She saw it clearly. We are going to be destroyed by you. We can't stand before you because God is with you. God, the God of all creation, is with you. She knew it. God has proclaimed His name, as it says. Now, to come to back to us and His word and our circumstances at this time, in this world with all, as Jeff was telling us, you know, don't believe anything you hear in the media, and the whole threat of COVID and fear of men, and over again, I want you to look at a couple of verses here in Romans chapter 9. And remember, I brought this up to say about Pharaoh, that God declares through the scripture that He raised Pharaoh up for this purpose. But in chapter 9, He's saying a number of things about what He has done and how He has done it through history. And He comes down and talks about Sarah, talks about Isaac, talks about Rebecca and the twins. And He says, he picks up on something that I suspect is a conundrum to some extent to us. It certainly is an argument and debate among theologians. What is this about? God said, He says, I chose, where is it here? For verse 11, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose, according to His choice, might stand, not because of works, but because of Him who calls, it was said to her, Rebecca, the older will serve the younger. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? I want to come back to that. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Before they were even born and had done anything. That ain't fair. That ain't fair, is it? if you're thinking according to the knowledge of good and evil. God is not about fulfilling the knowledge of good and evil. We live by the tree of life. We are redeemed by the power of God. If I'm not going to try to explain this, I don't know that I could do it without making you more confused than you already would be about that. But Paul has it very clearly, and this is God's name. This is about why we know God's name, why he has given us his name to call on. What shall we say then? There is no injustice in God, is there? May it never be. Believe it. There is no injustice in God. No matter what you see, no matter who dies, no matter what befalls the earth and the men of the earth, there is no injustice in God. He goes on. He speaks about Pharaoh. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. Doesn't seem fair. Knowledge of good and evil is not the basis upon which we live and the basis upon which we judge. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have the right over the clay to make with the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? I'm going to stop there. The point of this is, the point that I want you to see is that we have no right to answer back to God. He has done and will do according to his purpose and according to his intent. He has done and will do what is according to truth, according to life, according to his purpose. Paul's sharing a couple of weeks ago in verse 8:32 of John, know the truth, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. We are to be free in Jesus. We are free to not have to live up to earth's expectations, to man's expectations. We do not have the right or the need to try to sort out what ought to be. We call upon the name of the Lord. And when we are troubled, when we are beset with things, and this is really where this whole message started. Finally, I'm getting to it. You may remember, it's been shown up here before. Proverbs 18:10. In Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Now that's a verse that I have poo-pooed over the years because it's a kid's song. isn't it?
They are.
It's there you go. It's true. But, you know, I really struggled with that. And I this is me. Maybe it doesn't bother you. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. I know Judy may remember this or may not. But she was she came up here to in a meeting. Gosh, this has been over a decade ago. And she was leading us in the motions. And I don't think anybody was joining, or not many people were joining in. And I was kind of in the front, and she looked at me, and it was pleading, come on, help me out of here. You know, whatever it is, and, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And I was too embarrassed to do it. That's really what it was. I was too cool. I don't even know what they are. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That is not just a simple kid's phrase. That is truth. We call upon the name of the Lord. He is the rock. He is the foundation upon which we stand. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the government. The government will be upon his shoulders. We can call upon that and believe it. And we enter into the comfort, the protection of God, just as running into a strong tower in those days would have been a place of safety and refuge. We call upon the name of the Lord. Who is he that we know? Any name that he has, any name that we have heard, that we by faith the Lord will raise it up. When you are afraid, when fear tends to grip you, when you get accosted by stuff of the world, we can call upon the Prince of Peace, the King of all creation, the rock, the foundation. When I don't understand why is all this stuff happening the way it is, and you know, what's happening to my children, my neighbors, my wife, me, the Lord is a strong tower. And I can call upon him as the rock. He has revealed himself to me in that way. That is a matter of faith for me. Just as these names that we have heard and are Emmanuel, he came. He was there. He is in heaven. Right now, we can call upon him and not be afraid. That is the work of God, to believe in him whom he has sent. Believe. Call upon the Lord. If your faith is not there, seek the Lord for faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't make it up. We can't grunt it out. But he has done all that and has provided it and has made the way for us. Lord, help us to see. And Lord, I have no place of standing other than what you have given to say these words. Lord, I ask that your word would go forth and that we would be comforted and embraced by who you are, as your names have described, and that you call the things that you are called. Lord, you are our provider. You are our keeper. You are our savior. You are our king. Lord, give us great faith. Give us greater faith. Help us, Lord. Lord, give us that cleansing water that Jeff spoke about that came out of your body along with the blood when you were pierced by the spear. Lord, that your life, your daily handling and cleansing of us, Lord, will carry us and bring us into all righteousness. We thank you. We do praise you. We want to give you glory. We want to see your coming. We want to be able to, I want to be able to say, come Lord Jesus, and no caveats. Mm-hmm. Praise your holy name, Lord. Come.
Amen.
In your precious name. Amen.